The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all. The president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager, John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gail Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gail Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. No doubt, he paid his dues. At Seton Hall, he was named Student Athlete of the Year. He was overlooked in the draft, but made his way as a forward in the NBA for 9 consecutive years. Then to the sidelines, 9 more seasons as an assistant coach. Today, he holds one of the most coveted coaching jobs in America. Adrian Griffin, now the head of the herd, the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. And Adrian joins us for the first time tonight here on Courtside. Adrian, welcome. Thanks so much for sitting down with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you're certainly welcome, Coach. And, Coach, the NBA season is off and running, and the Bucks stand now at 4-2 after a barn burner of a win Monday night in Brooklyn. What's your take, Coach, on the performance of the team so far in the early going?
What a gutsy win last night. To walk into Brooklyn and come out with a win is every game is tough. Every game is important. And give them credit. They've been playing good basketball. They had just pushed Boston to the brink a couple of nights before. So we knew we were going to be in for a tough battle. But give credit to our guys. They played tremendously down the stretch. Your fourth quarter got to be your best quarter. I thought we made some winning plays, and we were fortunate to get the win.
And, Coach, there were a couple of key defensive plays. How about describe them for us right at the end as the Bucks were struggling to maintain the lead?
Well, yeah, I think it starts with our captain. Giannis was tremendous on both sides of the ball, in particular the fourth quarter where we needed to get some stops. The last 3 minutes of the game, crucial. He made just winning plays, a couple blocks, rebounds. And then, he on the offensive end, he was just as elite as it gets. And it was a total team win, total team win. I thought our bench was tremendous. We had 50 points combined from our bench. And I just thought everyone that entered the game contributed to the victory. So certainly something to grow on. And this was definitely a character win for us.
And, Coach, switching gears a bit, as every Bucks fan knows, Damian Lillard, one of the best three-point shooters of all time, joined the Bucks in a blockbuster trade right before the season began. Just curious, where were you when you learned the trade was a done deal, and what, Coach, was your first reaction?
I can't recall exactly where I was at the time, but John and I, we were in constant communication, and when he told me that we had a legitimate shot of getting Dame, obviously I was excited about that prospect. And, but it's, it's a tough league because, to get something, you have to give up something. So we gave up some really, really good players that are, that were a staple of this team. But we thought what we were getting in Dame can help us, and help us in the long run. And, his reputation speaks for itself. Clutch player, elite player, but most importantly, he's a high character player. And you win with talent and character, and I think he possesses both of those at an extremely high level. And we're just excited about having him on board.
And, Coach, both Giannis and Dame have said they need to learn, how best to play together. Giannis has actually, as asked Bucks fans for some patience. So from your vantage point on the sideline, what are you seeing from these two superstars so far?
Well, I think Dame is 100% correct. It's like any relationship, it takes time to foster the connection, to build the trust. But I think we're off to a really good start. But you can't rush the process. It takes time to build the collaboration. They actually have, you know, great mutual respect for each other. They're both high character individuals who want to win at the highest level. So it's going to work. It just takes time sometimes to build these things. But I like the direction that we're going. We've shown flashes of what's to become, but you can't skip the steps. It's one practice at a time, and it's one game at a time. But you could see out there that they're getting more comfortable with each other.
And, Coach, I'm sure our listeners would be really interested in a story I heard about the first time Dame came to our practice center after landing in Milwaukee. And I think you were in the middle of your 100 three-point shot contest. Tell us what Dame did walking off the airplane in street clothes.
Well, one thing that we try to do is make everything competitive around the gym when the players, you know, just to foster that competitive spirit. So we shoot 100 threes and we track them, and we call it our Bucks 100. And I think at the time, I want to say Grayson and Malik Beasley tied for the record of 92 out of 100. And that is just elite. That's just, super elite as far as shooting goes, shooting three-point shots. So Dame, on his first try ever in our gym, he gets 93. So we were just, amazed. Left in amazement. You know, a couple of those spots, he went 19 for 20. One spot, he went 20 for 20. So he didn't disappoint. You know, there was a lot of excitement about getting him. And then, you know, the way that he's able to, you know, just perform on call, you know, and very impressive. But I think the biggest thing also that's impressive with him is just, you know, how easy he is to talk to, and, you know, we've had some great conversations, and I know him as a basketball player, but just getting to know him as a person, you know, it's been very rewarding just to hear his story and getting him to, you know, open up, and that's how you build the trust. You know, we have some special talent on the team, and it is about winning. It's about basketball, but at the end of the day, you know, these guys are human beings, and, you know, they have needs like everybody else. So it's just good to get to know them as people first.
And, Coach, as we open the season, Chris Middleton, coming off knee surgery this summer, was on a minutes restriction. Where do we stand with Chris playing time at this point of the season?
I think, first of all, I think Chris is doing a phenomenal job with just everything. You know, he had successful knee surgery this summer, had successful rehab. He's been working extremely hard during the preseason with his individual workouts. And then, you know, to play in these competitive games the way he is doing right now is just so impressive, you know. And obviously we're a better team when he's on the floor. But at the same time, we do want to be smart with it. And, you know, it's a long haul. Our expectation is to play, you know, late into June. So we have time on our side, you know. And, again, he's been great. He's doing everything within his power to be on the court and stay on the court. And his minutes will increase as we go. But, again, it's just about being smart with it. And I think we're right on schedule.
We'll have more with Coach Griffin in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Adrian, tell us a little about yourself. I understand that you grew up in Wichita as the son of a minister.
Yes, I grew up in Wichita, Kansas. Most people don't know that, but my dad was a minister. He was also a Navy man when I was growing up, and He came home after 9 years in the Navy, and he said, you know, God called him into the ministry, and he immediately, you know, switched careers, so to speak. And he was a minister for 25 years before he passed away. But, you know, great man, taught us some really, really great values and, you know, just the importance of having a relationship with God. And I've tried to use that, you know, to carry over into my adult life, just all the lessons that, you know, he taught us growing up, and just the hard work and no excuse mentality, taught us, you know, that there's always a way out. You just got to work your way out. And, you know, when we were young, we would go out and mow lawns and knock on doors and pick up cans and whatever it took. You know, he did it. So he was a great example of just, you know, no excuses. You work your way out of it and good things will follow. So he's definitely missed. But, you know, a lot of the lessons I try to pass it on to my kids. But really had a – I felt like a great – my parents were great. My mom, hardworking, individual. So they did. They taught us the value of hard work, and I think that served me, you know, tremendously, especially as I was pursuing my goal to play in the NBA.
Pretty valuable lessons for life, Coach. And actually, you've really come full circle. In 2008, your coaching career, as you well know, began here in Milwaukee. Tell us how that happened.
Well, I got traded from Chicago to Seattle, and Seattle moved to Oklahoma City that summer, and the general manager or president of the Oklahoma City Thunder called me and said I needed to get to Oklahoma City and start getting settled and looking for a place. And so when I flew there, I'm with a realtor, and we looked at some properties and some houses and whatnot, and we decided to take a break. And so we went to a restaurant for lunch, and while I'm sitting there at lunch, the same general manager, Sam Presti, called me and said, I have some more news for you. You've been traded to Milwaukee. So it was a tough summer, you know, mentally, as far as, you know, anytime you get traded, it's tough, not on just yourself, but on your family. You know, my kids were much younger and, you know, uprooting them and whatnot. But I ended up going to Milwaukee, and I thought I made the roster. You know, I was with the team all the way up until the final day, which was around 3 p.m. And I was going into my 10th year of playing in the NBA, and I thought it was just such a great milestone for someone who had gone undrafted. And so the cutoff time, I think, was around 3 o'clock, and Scott Skiles calls me around 2:59 and said that he tried to fight for me and couldn't make it happen. But he said, hey, why don't you join my staff? And we had conversations about it prior to that. You know, when I played for him in Chicago, I didn't think it was going to happen that soon. You know, like all athletes, you want to play as long as you can. But I did understand at that time that these jobs, you know, as far as assistant coaching in the NBA, do not come along often. So I jumped on the opportunity. I said, you know, of course, I'd love to join staff, and, you know, the rest is history. So really things have come full circle. You know, Milwaukee was my first job as assistant coach, and now my first opportunity to be a head coach is with this tremendous city, and the fans have been so, so great. You know, they've been so welcoming, even back then, you know, so extremely appreciative to the entire city of Milwaukee and the Milwaukee Bucks organization for, you know, entrusting me with leading this group. You know, we have special talent. I don't take that for granted. It's a great opportunity. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, young coaches or first-time coaches, I should say, very rarely inherit a team like this, you know. So truly blessed. I couldn't be happier.
That's great to hear. And we'll have more with Coach Griffin in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gail and Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Coach, the basketball gene must really run deep in your family. Your son Adrian Jr., a college star and now playing for the Atlanta Hawks. And the other night in Milwaukee, he was playing. The Hawks beat us, and he sunk a three-point shot right in front of you. What was your emotion when you saw that happen?
Well, during the game, I'm upset because I want to win, you know. And, you know, last year when I was coaching with the Toronto Raptors, he hit a buzzer beater against us. So he gets up for our games, you know. But then after the game, I get to reflect, and you know, I'm really proud of him, just proud of his journey. You know, as someone who was fortunate to play in the NBA, I know how hard it is. I know the challenges it poses every night. And I was 25 years old when I entered the NBA, and I know the challenges I had. It was very hard, you know, especially mentally, especially the nights when you don't play and you're in and out of the rotation. And so I can't imagine how he feels at the age of 20, but he's handling it well. He's taking it all in stride, and, you know, we have a lot of conversations. I'm fortunate to, you know, experience some of the things he goes through, so I can help kind of, you know, help him navigate through it. But, you know, I mean, he's up on me right now, 3-1, so we got back here.
So you're hoping for payback time a little bit later in the season, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Adrian, technically, we should really call you Dr. Griffin. Last year, you earned a doctorate in organizational leadership. Just curious, what motivated you to strive for that advanced degree?
I think several things. One, before my father passed away, you know, his goal was to get his doctorate in theology, and he was in a master's program in I believe, religious studies. And so that was his ultimate goal. That's all he would talk about. And so I wanted to honor him. You know, it's kind of sentimental for me as far as pursuing that PhD, just to honor my father and everything he's meant to me. And so that was part of the equation. And the other part was just I wanted to be a better coach. I wanted to be a better communicator. I wanted to be a better leader. You know, I played this game as well. And when I got into coaching, one thing that, you know, just kind of opened my eyes was that when I was a player, you know, as coaches, we demand a lot from the players. You know, we demand excellence. They have to be excellent on the and off the court, you know, in practices and shoot arounds and games. And then summers, we want them to be great and how they take care of their body. So we demand a lot from the players. And I wanted to make sure that I was demanding that same type of excellence and holding my own self to a high standard. You know, I just felt it was only right because, again, we asked a lot from the players. So I wanted to, you know, challenge myself to be the best coach that I can be. And, you know, I wanted to be a head coach. So I wanted to put as many things in my favor and learn. I love learning. I love to grow. And I think, you know, I inherit that from my father. He was an avid reader, had tons and tons of books. You know, my wife, she gets on me because I'm constantly on Amazon and Barnes & Noble just ordering books and books after books. And, you know, I try to justify it by, listen, I'm like, there's a lot of worse things I could be spending money on. But I love books and I love reading. So it was tough. It was a lot. What a lot of people don't know is it was a lot of long 5 years. You know, I earned it. I stayed up a lot of nights, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, my wife was a big, you know, my wife, Kathy, was a big reason why I was able to achieve this goal, because she would stay up with me. You know, she said she didn't feel comfortable sleeping while I was up writing papers and doing scouts and whatnot. And she'll put on some coffee and we would stay up to the wee hours of the morning. And I owe a lot for her to her because she wouldn't let me quit. And it was worth it. You know, anything worth pursuing, it's going to be sacrifices. And but I'm glad I did it. You know, a lot of it is that I wanted to prove to myself that I can do it. You know, just like I wanted to prove that I could make the NBA after going undrafted 3 years in the minor leagues, you know, just constantly challenging myself. So, again, it's more about me holding myself accountable as we hold, you know, our players accountable.
That's terrific, Adrian. It really is. And, Coach, switching gears a bit, something new shaking in the NBA, the in-season tournament with games played on Tuesdays and Fridays and the grand finale in early December in Vegas. I understand there's a whole lot of cash and a trophy involved. Your thoughts?
Well, I think if there's this competition, it's the opportunity to win, it's the opportunity to hold a trophy up over your head, I think why not go for it? You know, we have a team full of competitors. We compete. You know, when you step on the floor, you want to compete to win, you know, and expect to win. When you've done the hard work, then you can. That's where your confidence comes from. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us to get ready for, you know, April, May, and June, especially some of our younger guys. It's going to be playoff, you know, atmosphere, the intensity go through the roof, and it'll be good to get, you know, our team. You know, we have a team that hasn't been together long, so getting us out there under those circumstances and being able to compete at the highest level, and you could already feel it. You know, we've already played one in-season tournament game against the Knicks, and, you know, both teams are competing hard, and it's good for us. I think it's going to lay a strong foundation for us as we move forward.
Well, with the cash reward, Coach, I understand if the Bucks win, you could probably buy the entire book collection at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. Well, I'm not turning down any money, but it'd be great
to
get that trophy.
Well, fingers crossed. And finally, Adrian, as we wrap up, as you settle into your head coaching role here in Milwaukee, what's one message you'd like to send the Bucks fans everywhere?
I think the biggest message that you got some players that are so dedicated and convicted on doing the right things every day. We talk about the process and buying into the steps, you know, not skipping the steps, but doing the hard work and making the mundane sacred. And these guys are so focused on delivering another championship to the city of Milwaukee. And we definitely appreciate all the fans have been tremendous, you know, at the games at Pfizer Arena. The electricity is through the roof. And that's what these players deserve. And on the flip side of that, the players deserve to put their best foot forward because we have the best fans in the entire NBA. So, I've said this before, but we truly are stronger together. You know, we have special talent, but when you put that talent together and they're working together, then it makes us that much stronger. So we're exceptionally appreciative of our city and the fans, and we want to make them proud.
Coach, it's been so much fun visiting with you, and we'll look forward to catching up with you on a regular basis as the season rolls along. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.